Have you found that? He truly is. If you haven't, you will. He's all you need. And thank you for that. That was good. I want to say a couple. Pastor mentioned stink bugs. I think I had one on me last Sunday night. Did y'all see? Did anybody see that? My family, as soon as the service was over, it was swatting at my back. I had a stink bug. I didn't see it this morning. Must have been on this side. It was on this side, and I didn't see it over here. But those things, I'm convinced those things are from down under. I'm telling you, they those things, and I don't know if you realize this or not, those things are hard to kill. I have seen a stink bug baptize itself in a gallon bucket of paint and crawl across the wall. I'm like, how in the world that thing didn't die? It's unbelievable. And so we fight them in the paint world because they'll get all over your paint and then they crawl into the other color. Right? You paint side in blue, they get in the blue paint and all of a sudden they're crawling across the white paint. And it's like, you know, I'm telling you, them things are wicked, man. So if one gets on me tonight, y'all trying to just wave or do something, you know, try to get my, don't do that. I don't care if you do, actually. I'm trying to get some people waving in here. Where are these guys at that was at that game last night? Yeah, I see those of you that don't know, UVA won. Brother Don, you was there, wasn't you? UVA won last night. How many of you saw the UVA game last night? Okay, only a couple of us. Well, it's a decent amount. Yeah, it was a close game. They won. It was some people here from the church. Some of them even got on the big screen. And, I mean, they were pumped. They were cheering. They were screaming. I told them, it was some of our young people, and I told them, hey, I want some of that energy when I'm preaching, right? They were all like, come on. I said, I want some of that when I'm preaching. Come on, right? Give me some of that Cavalier energy here tonight, right? And so anyway, but no, that's what I'm looking for. Y'all help me out, all right? We're going to finish our sub-series tonight in 1 Samuel. And Lord willing, next time I preach out of the life of David, unless God changes my heart, we'll be moving on to the next phase of David's life. But we've been looking at David's years in the wilderness. And I would encourage you, Sister Beth mentioned something to me, and I've done some research and watched some videos. I would encourage you to go to YouTube and pull up some YouTube videos of Israel there, of En Gedi, of the wilderness where David, you can find some of that stuff. Now, obviously, it's modern day, but it's very interesting, and it's eye-opening to kind of, mine eye affecteth my heart, to see what those caves were like and what that wilderness was like and what that place that David was living in was like. And it really opened my eyes to some things. Had I seen some of that earlier in my study, I believe it would have affected some of my stuff in these years of wilderness wanderings of David. It's just very interesting. Lord willing, I pray to God that someday, if not in this life and in the next, right, in the millennial kingdom, I want to go to Israel. I would love to go see the places where the Bible took place. A lot of people say if you go to Israel, it's like turning black and white to color. It's putting color on the pages. And so I'd love to see it, but I watched some of that. We have technology today, so you can see some of it. But anyway, it was very interesting. We've been looking at those wilderness years of David's life and how that God, during those years, God was protecting David. And I've mentioned each week, and I want to mention it again tonight because I think it's important that we understand it. We can't never hear it enough. David was being pursued by Saul, right? He had an enemy that wanted to destroy him. And I want to remind you again tonight that we have an enemy. His name's not Saul, but it starts with an S. His name is Satan. And the Bible says that he's as a roaring lion. And he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy that wants to destroy us, an enemy that is pursuing us. He's walking about. He's looking. He's lurking. He wants to destroy the Christian's life. And that's where David is in these wilderness years. He's running from Saul. He's being pursued by the enemy, by a man that wants to destroy him. And we, much like David, are being pursued. And we've looked at how that God has used different things in David's life to protect him during these wilderness years. And we saw how that he used people. By people, God protected David. And we looked at how that by prayer, David was protected there in the wilderness. And we saw last week how that by principles, David was protected there in the wilderness. And I said, not only was he protected from Satan, but there's another S that's out to destroy us, and it's called self. We have a self-destruction button, right? We're trying to self-destroy, and it's this old nature, it's this flesh that we have, and it seeks to destroy us as well. But thankfully, like David, those of us that are saved tonight, this series or this sub-series in the life of David, I've called The Lord Was With Him. While David was in the wilderness, I'm glad to report to you the Lord was with him. Just as you're going through this wilderness, as you're going through life and you have that enemy that's trying to destroy you, can I tell you tonight, the Lord is with you. If you're saved, the Lord is with you. If you're not saved, you can be, and the Lord will be with you. What a great truth to know that the Lord is with us. And we've seen that in David's life. And tonight I want to look at the last one of these points of protection. Now understand, there's many other things that God used. I just picked out a few. And we talked about people. We talked about prayer. We talked about principles. Tonight I want to talk about providence. I want to talk about the providence of God. You may say, what is providence? I think all of us have a little understanding of providence, but there may be some that say, what do you mean by providence? The word providence, it means a lot of different things. I looked up some definitions. I'm going to give you a few, but it comes from the word pro, which means before, and where we get our word video, it's to see. So it's kind of from to see before. Some people think it means to see to it. If you'll remember in our first message on David in 1 Samuel 16 in verse number 1, God told Samuel, he said that I've looked out and found a king. He said, I've found a king for myself, right? I found a man after my own heart. God said, I've provided myself a king, right? And that's kind of the same thought there. He said, I've looked out and I've seen to it. I've found someone that I'm going to make king. He's going to be my king, right? And so we're going to look at providence tonight. And you may wonder, what is providence? Great question. Someone defined it this way. Providence, are you listening? Providence is the unseen hand of God working through the ordinary circumstances to accomplish his extraordinary plan. I'm going to repeat that just so you'll get it. Providence is the unseen hand of God working through the ordinary circumstances to accomplish his extraordinary plan. I heard one man say, it may be one of the greatest miracles of all. I can't even understand it completely. I can't even wrap my mind around it. We have a free will. It's very obvious in studying the scripture that God has given man a free will. That means I have the ability to make a choice. But even in spite of my choices, God, in his providence, is able to work through my choices to complete his plan. That's a miracle. That's how great our God is. You say, do you understand providence, Brother David? Not completely. Who can know the mind of God? Who can really understand God? See, if I could understand God, then I would be equal with God. And I wouldn't dare make that claim, nor do I believe you would. But the providence of God is that God has given man the ability to make choices. God has given us the ability to live life. But in spite of our choices, God is still in control. You say, I don't know if God's in control. Then who is? If God's not in control, who is? Fate? Us? Satan? No, God is in control. God is providential. The providence of God. Providence is, one man said this, providence is where God's plan meets our path. God's plan meets our path. I'll give you some scripture. Proverbs 16:9 says this, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You say, explain it. I can't. A man's heart deviseth his way. You say, well, I'd made that choice. I know, but God directed your steps. That's amazing. That's a miracle. That's my God. He's providential. He's in control. He is Alpha and Omega. He's beginning and end. And see, the providence of God was at work in David's life. I like this. Spurgeon said this about providence. He said, providence is the hand of God in the glove of history. The hand of God in the glove of history. It's as if God is moving and making and working all things according to his will. That's amazing to me. I think of Psalms when it says that the kings of the earth have gathered themselves together, and it says that God sits in the heavens and laughs. Can I tell you, all these world leaders that think that they're making, that they're in control, God's in control. God is playing this thing like a game of chess, and one day, can I tell you, he's going to say checkmate. I think he already did at Calvary, but he's going to actually finish it. Right? And so God is the Spurgeon said it's the hand of God in the glove of history. I can't completely explain it, but I tell you this, I believe it. I believe in the providence of God. I'll give you another verse real quick, Acts 17. If you're fast, you can turn there. You don't have to. I'm going to read it to you. I almost wrote it down, but I'd rather just read it. Acts 17, verse 23. Well, verse 22, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Paul said, I want to declare God to you. That's what he said. I want to declare God to you. Listen to how Paul declared God to them. He said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Look at verse number 28 says this, for in him we live and move and have our being. That's the providence of God. Paul said, God's in control. It's in God that we live and we move and we have our being. You see, we sometimes think we're in control, but can I tell you this morning, or tonight, it's not this morning, tonight, God is in control. God is a providential God. And so I want to look at the providence of God in David's life. I don't claim for 1 minute to understand every aspect of divine providence, but I sure would not try to deny it. There's no way that you can read through the life of David, especially in these wilderness years, and not see the providence of God at work. There's no way, if you read through the life of David, that you won't see God's providence working in his life. And I want to look at a couple ways in which we see the providence of God. Now, as I said, this is just a couple things that I came up with. It's on every page. But I want to give you three areas where I see God's providence in David's life in these years of wandering, in these wilderness years of his life, and how I think they work in our lives. So number one, I want to look at this, God's providential timing. God's providential timing. I had Pastor read to you 1 Samuel 23 and verse number 14. And the Bible says at the end of that verse, it says, and Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. Can I tell you the reason that David was able to get through these wilderness years was because of God. It was God that delivered David. It was God that protected David. God did not deliver David into the hands of Saul. And in verse number 15, and it says, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. There are so many situations where we see the providential timing of God in David's life. But I think here in 1 Samuel 23, we see it really clearly in two ways, and I want to give them to you tonight. Number one, we see God's providential timing of encouragement. Timing of encouragement. It's amazing to me how that Jonathan just shows up here in the wilderness. Now, I don't have time to lay all the groundwork tonight, but we've been looking through the life of David, and I hope you've been reading it. I encouraged you, I challenged you, I asked you to read 1 Samuel chapters 19 through the end of 1 Samuel so that you would have a good grasp, a good understanding of what's going on here. But David has been on the run for some time. David is being pursued by Saul. David has just been betrayed there at Keilah. If you were to read back, what you would see happened is that God delivered Keilah to David, and then David went down, and David was going to stay there, but he said, let me pray and ask God, should I stay? And he prayed and he asked God, should I stay? And God said, you better go. They're going to betray you. They're going to deliver you up to Saul. And so David left. And so David is on the run again. He's in the wilderness of Ziph. And as I said, if you were to watch some of these videos that I'm talking about, you would see this wilderness is a barren land. David is out on the run. David is in the wilderness. David is wandering. David is being pursued by Saul, and he's been betrayed by people. And now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just when it appears that David is kind of coming to the end of himself and just right on time, God sends Jonathan to encourage him. God's providential timing of encouragement. Jonathan strengthened his hand in God. Have you ever had someone just come right on time? Have you ever been really low and God in his providence just at the right time, just when you thought you couldn't get any lower, God showed up? That's the providence of God. Can I tell you, God's not late. He's always on time. And God was on time in David's life. God gave David the encouragement that he needed. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Right when you need it, there's God. See, I was thinking about this, and I was praying this week and even this morning and today. I've been saying, God, I know there's some people, as we've already heard, in our church that are going through some difficult things. And I just pray that somehow, some way, God would just remind you tonight that God is providential and God is in control and God is going to give you that you need right when you need it, right when you think all else has failed. That's when God shows up. We heard it in song. When we think that that's all we have, we find out it's all we need, and God sent Jonathan just at the right time. Sometimes it's not Jonathan. Sometimes it's not a person. Sometimes it's a song. Sometimes it's a scripture. Sometimes it's a thought, a memory. But can I tell you, God's always on time. I'm thankful for the providential timing of God in my life. I was trying to think. It's so many times I couldn't even think of them all. But there's one in particular that sticks out to me, and it wouldn't mean nothing to nobody else. But I'm just telling you, if you've ever had one of these moments, you'll know what I'm talking about. A God moment. You ever had a God moment? Where you just needed God and God showed up. I remember Meredith and I, it's probably been about 3 years ago. She'll remember as I start talking about it. It wasn't the same for her. About 3 years ago, it's about this time of year, we had just had our youth retreat, and we had Brother Jason Garner from New Manna down in North Carolina come up and preach to our teens. And anyway, any of you that don't know Brother Jason, if he wasn't a preacher, he could have been a great salesman. And he somehow talked me and my wife into, he's on here Friday, he's at the youth retreat, Friday and Saturday. They have a youth workers impact conference every year in September. And the following Friday, I think it is, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is this youth workers conference. We're not planning to go. And he talks me into it. And so, I mean, just like, he's like, brother, you got to come, you got to come, you got to come. And so I decide we're going to go, right? And you may remember, some of you may remember this, because when I came back, I mentioned this. But we went down, Meredith and I went down to Lake Junaluska. How many of you have ever been to Lake Junaluska? Anybody? Wow. Maybe I'm not saying it right. It's right outside of Maggie Valley. How many of you ever heard of Maggie Valley, right? Okay. Some of y'all Carolinians know about Maggie Valley, right? All right. It's down in Asheville. It's on the other side of Asheville, right down in that area. And that's where Lake Junaluska is. And it was a nice place in the 80s. But anyway, this place was dated. I'm telling you right now, I'm not being mean. I'm just being honest, all right? It was probably really nice in the 80s. It was in its heyday in the 70s. It was nice in the 80s. And whew, those days are gone, all right? But anyway, y'all remember we went to Lynchburg for our youth workers? I mean, our appreciate teacher appreciation thing. Y'all remember some of y'all went to Lynchburg? Very similar. All right, anyway, so it's seen its better days, right? Anyway, I gotta hurry. But we go down there, and I mean, Meredith's been begging me to go to the Biltmore house. I mean, she just has dreamed about going to the Biltmore house, and we've talked about it. Isn't that what it's called? Yeah, that's it. I probably shouldn't be bringing this up right now. This is probably not a good way. You mentioned this morning, this is not a smart way to bring into your message. So we drive down there to Lake Junaluska, and if I'm lying, my wife will tell you, we got to a point where we came to a T in the road, and there was a sign, and it said Lake Junaluska, and it said Biltmore. And we went that way. I mean, it was like, you know, it was like Judas, he kissed the door, having to turn to walk away. I took my wife to the entrance of the Biltmore and went the other way, right? And so we went to Lake Junaluska and we went to this retreat. And need I say, by the time we got there, we just wasn't in the best spirit. I'm sorry, hey, we're human, all right? We wasn't in the best spirit. She wasn't, I wasn't. I went, I'm not lying to you. This is where I'm going with this, and then I'm going to hurry. I went down there. Empty. You ever been where you're just empty? Just worn out. And I can't tell you why. I don't know what it was. You know, just coming off summer. We hadn't went on vacation yet. It was early. It was late August, last week of August, first week of September. We hadn't been on vacation yet. We came through Vacation Bible School. We came through youth camp, youth conference, missions conference, just a busy summer. And I was just worn out. And I mean, I was having a pity party. You ever had a pity party? I was just having a pity party and really honestly have no idea how I got to Lake Junaluska, and my wife even more so didn't know how we got to Lake Junaluska. But I know now what it was. It was a providential timing event in my life. And that might not have been in her life, but it was in mine. That first night we got there, we were sitting through the service, and after the first preacher preached the second service, a young girl I'd never heard of in my life got up to sing, and she said she was going to sing a song that she had wrote, and her last name is Matero. Is that how you say it, Brother Greg? Matero, the Matero family, I believe it is. She got up, and she sang this song, Lodabar. It's a song my daughter sings here at the church sometimes, and she sang that song, Lodabar. I'd never heard it before. But I remember as she was singing, I mean, God just started speaking to me and tears started. I couldn't, you know, sometimes you don't even know you're crying and you just feel the tears run down your face. You're like, I'm not crying, but I am. God's just squeezing your heart and tears are coming out of your eyes. And I was crying, and Brother Shirley, Tony Shirley, got up and he began to talk about Lodabar. And he began to talk about how that his wife was raised in a drunkard's home and had a drug addict daddy, and how he had grown up in a different home, and he had been in church since he was a little boy, but he started talking about Lodabar, and he just started talking about that empty place and that empty, and he just exhorted, and I'm telling you right now, God just did something for me. I went to that meeting just empty. And while I was there, I mean, God just stepped in. I don't think it was that way for anybody else. I can't speak, but you know, you sometimes just one of them services where nobody else is there, but you are. And I mean, God just ministered to my heart, and I mean, just broke my heart. God reminded me where he found me, down in Lodabar with a broken heart, broken life. And God set me at the table of the king. God put a song in my heart and gave me a new life, and it was like God just breathed something back in. You know what God did? He strengthened my hand in God. Providentially, God, I had no idea. I thought Jason Garner was just a good salesman, right? But now I know what it was. God had something he wanted to do for David Oliver, and in the providence of God, I thought I was making the decisions, and I was. I was devising in my heart, but God was directing the steps, and God led me right to that place, and God filled my cup up. And God will do that in your life. God did that in David's life. Here's David in the wilderness running for his life, and you say, this doesn't seem like much. Jonathan is David's best friend. Jonathan is Saul's son. Jonathan is the heir to the kingdom. And here David's on the run. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, here shows up Jonathan in the wilderness. I wrote down a verse. There's a verse in Proverbs. It reminds me, it says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. It's like that verse in Proverbs that talks about words fitly spoken are like apples of gold and pictures of silver. You say, what does that mean? I have no idea, but I know it means something good. Every now and then, you just need that word of encouragement. You just need that something that only God can give. And when you need it most, God gives it. You know what I'm talking about? Do you remember hearing that song or getting that text message or getting that phone call or sitting down with that friend? Just when you thought you were about to sink, God sent someone your way and gave you some encouragement. You see, that's the providence of God. That's what God does, and that's what God did in David's life. It's the providential timing of God. Not only do we see the timing of providential timing of encouragement, we see the providential timing of escape. Look in verse number 24. It says, and they arose after David talked with Jonathan. In verse 24, it says, they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. Do you see what's happening here? David's on this mountain, and David is running from Saul. Saul finds out where David's at. And so David's Saul's pursuing David, and it comes to the point where Saul's men's on one side of the mountain, David's men's on the other side of the mountain, and it appears as if Saul sent some men this way, and Saul sent some men this way, and Saul's about to entrap David. It looks like David's finally going to get caught. Look at verse number 27. You know what this verse 27 reminds me of? Verse number 14. It says that Saul sought him every day. Look at it. But God. But God. Look at verse number 27. It says, but there came a messenger unto Saul. You say, that's not God. Oh, yeah, that's God. That's God. But a messenger came unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Can I tell you, God's always on time. God gave David some encouragement there in the wilderness when he needed it, and God gave David an escape there in the wilderness when he needed it. Can I tell you, God will give you an escape when you need it. That's how God works. Just God sent that messenger from a far country. It don't say where he came from. It just says a messenger. I don't know if he came from Israel. I don't know if he came from home, or I don't know if he came from heaven. I don't know where he came from, but he came right at the right time, and he had a great message. Saul, the Philistine, are in pursuit, and we've got to go. And David escaped the hand of Saul because of the providence of God. Think about the times in your life when God, just at the right time, gave you a way of escape. That's what God does. There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not tempt you above that which you are able, but will also with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God always comes through. God always offers an escape for his children. Just when we think we're trapped, and then all of a sudden God shows up. It's the providential timing of God, the timing of escape. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. It's God. It's the providence of God. You say, how did I get here tonight, Brother David? I can tell you one way, the providence of God. It's God's hand working in your life, directing your steps, and protecting you from Satan. It's God. And we say with the providence of God's time, and look at God's providential test.
You know, I believe this brings us back to where we were last week, 1 Samuel chapter 24. I want you to just look at one verse here in 1 Samuel 24. It says, "And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe." We still looked at this last week. We looked again in chapter 26. Look at verse number 7. It says, "So David and Abishai came to the people by night. Behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground in his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once. I will not smite him the second time." And if you'll remember last week, we looked at God's providence, we looked at God's principles, or David's principles that protected him, and we talked about how that sometimes it may look like an opportunity, but it's not always that. And I'm convinced that this right here was a test. God put a providential test in David's life. I think Saul walking into that cave, some people may not agree, but I think Saul walking into that cave was a test. David, what are you going to do? Are you going to stand on your principles? Are you going to stand on your convictions? Are you going to do the right thing when wrong looks right? And we see in this story a providential test. You say, I don't know about that, Brother David. Does God really test people? He tested Abraham. You remember that, right? Proverbs. Genesis chapter 22, verse number 1. God tempted Abraham. We know that God doesn't tempt people to sin. So what was that temptation? It was a test. God said, Abraham, do you love me? He told him, take Isaac up on that mountain. He tested him. Remember Job? Satan said, he asked about Job, and when he was going to and fro, and God said, have you considered Job? You see, he tested him. God will test us sometimes. God will allow tests into our lives, and they're providential tests. I believe this was a providential test in God's life. I wrote down this quote, and I think it's good. God's providence never contradicts God's principles. Did you hear that? God's providence never contradicts God's principles. You say, what does that mean? You know, sometimes we talk about the providence of God, we say it's an open door. It would have been easy for David to say, this is an open door to take Saul out. That's what his men said. God has delivered him into your hand. David, it's an open door. You say, how do I know if God opened the door? I can tell you one way. God's providence will never contradict God's principles. If that open door makes you contradict the principles of God, it's not an open door from God. You get that? You say, God opened the door for me to take this job, or God opened the door for me to do this, or God opened the door for me to do that. Can I tell you, if that open door is going to take you away from God, that door wasn't opened by God. God's not going to open a door that gets you away from him. He's going to open a door that gets you closer to him. And so God's providence never contradicts God's principles. And so this situation, I believe David would have been, he would have been contradicting the principles of God, touching God's anointed. And so I believe this was a test from God. And tests, you know what tests do? They examine us. That's what a test is for. It examines us. Not only does it examine us, it exposes us. They reveal where we are. A test, it examines us. That's what we call them, exams, right? See what we know. And then they expose us. They reveal where we are. You know, I literally thought of this afternoon. I think it's interesting. You think about it, read it, do what you want with it. 1 Samuel 24, God sends Saul into that cave. And David, I think it's a test. And David gets up and he cuts off the robe of Saul, cuts Saul's robe off. I'm not sure all that goes on there. But it says that his heart was smote, that it smote his heart that he had did that. Chapter 25 is the chapter with Abigail and Nabal. You know what that chapter's about, right? Revenge. And David is going to get revenge. He's going to go down and he's going to kill Nabal and all of his people. And Abigail comes. Her name, Abigail, means peacemaker. Abigail comes and she talks to David, and David says, blessed be thee of the Lord. He says, God sent you to remind me not to get revenge, that vengeance is God's. And I'm not going to read that. You know the story, but go home and read it. I think it's so interesting. That's chapter 25, and it's all about that. Basically, David is taught a lesson on revenge. Chapter 26, David goes down into the Saul's camp, and God's put a sleep upon the army of Saul, and there's an open door. There's an opportunity. And this time, David passed the test with flying colors. He doesn't cut anything. He takes something, goes up, wakes him, and gives it back. And I just think possibly maybe God had tested David there in the cave of En-Gedi, and he just didn't, maybe something just didn't go the way it was supposed to, and he exposed something in David's life that he wanted to work on. And so chapter number 25, David deals with Nabal and Abigail, and God teaches David a great lesson. In chapter 26, here comes the test again. How you going to do? God ever did that in your life? Give you a test and you don't pass it, and God says, okay, we're going to take it again. Providential test. God gave David a providential test. And then last, I believe we can see God's providential trials. You say, I think trials and tests are the same thing. I don't believe so. Trials are to mature us while tests measure us. Trials grow us. Tests grade us. You with me? God allowed many trials into David's life. During this wilderness, it was one trial after another trial after another trial. And you say, you think those trials were from God? I think he allowed them. God allowed these trials in David's life. You say, why? I believe because God was trying to equip David. God was trying to make David into the man that he needed David to be the king of Israel. God was equipping David. Not only was God equipping David, but God was establishing David. So you may be here tonight and you're going through a trial and you say, what is God doing in my life? I don't know, but I know this, God's in control. God is providential. And if you're going through a trial tonight, I'm just telling you, that trial, God has allowed that trial in your life. And if you will let God, God will do something with that trial in your life. It reminds me of James chapter number 1 and verse number 2. It says, my brother, he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, right? That's trials. When you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God allows trials in our lives to establish us. I believe God was trying to establish David. I believe God was trying to equip David. He was trying to equip David with patience. He was trying to establish him with, or perfect him with maturity. He was trying to get him ready for the job that he had for him to do. You see, it's the providence of God. Providential timing. Providential test. Providential trials. God uses them all. So I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I hope that this will be a help to you. You can shut your Bibles and stand to your feet, if you would. I really thought about this a lot. And I just pray, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I hope somehow, some way, that I could be a messenger. Good news from a far country for somebody tonight. You're going through a trial. And I'm just trying to remind you tonight that God is providential. God is in control. In the test, in the trials, in every area of life, God is in control. You can begin to play. Your head's bowed and eyes closed.